Good morning. It's 7:06 with KUNC News. I'm Erin O'Toole. Severe flash flooding across the Front Range has caused the destruction of multiple homes, several road closures this morning, as well as power outages, mud and rock slides. Authorities have also reported two deaths, one in Jamestown, the other in Colorado Springs. Andrew Barth is the spokesman for the Boulder Office of Emergency Management. He says some dams in the county have been overtopped.
And right now, I mean, we're just trying to assess. We can't see what we're trying to move. And actually, what's behind it is the bigger issue. You know, if we move something and there's a wall of water behind it, that could cause a bigger problem. So we are waiting for daylight. We have crews right there ready to go as soon as we get a good assessment of it. But our first priority right now is getting people safe that are in danger areas.
University of Colorado Boulder officials evacuated about 400 students and faculty from parts of the campus near Boulder Creek in the early morning hours. KUNC's Nathan Heffel is on the scene near Boulder Creek on the CU campus.
Apparently, waters have subsided somewhat, but it is still a raging river here. Large logs have washed up on shore in a park area I'm standing in, where the water went up at least half a football field from shore.
Rain continues to fall in Colorado, causing flooding throughout a large swath of the state, including some of Colorado's most populous areas. As KUNC's Grace Hood reports, it's forced many to evacuate their homes.
Some of the worst flooding hit near Boulder, where some University of Colorado student housing was evacuated and classes are canceled at least through the end of the week. To the north, near the Big Thompson River, evacuation orders are in effect for some residents in the canyon, including Sharon Riggert.
It's going to be bad. Already there's damage in the canyon, and the river is so high right now.
The historic flooding, being called biblical by weather forecasters, continues to wash away roads and cut off communities across the Rocky Mountain foothills. Bill Nelson with the Larimer County Sheriff's Office says as rain totals increased, more evacuations were ordered.
Right now, the flood conditions are still ongoing. It's a pretty hazardous situation to be close to any possible stream in Larimer County that's got high water. And we're asking people to please stay away from them, stay out of
them. Larimer County is reporting that at least one dam near Big Elk Meadow has given way. Others are in danger, and some roads are impassable due to heavy rain. John Schultz is with the Larimer County Sheriff's Office.
And a short while ago, the Meadow Lake Dam broke and released water. Now, we believe it to be a relatively small amount of water at this point, but we're still trying to assess what the impact
last night,
of that
President
is
Obama
be.
Authorized federal emergency aid to assist in the state's response, specifically citing the counties of Boulder, El Paso, and Larimer. Grace Hood of member station KUNC has been reporting on the storms. She joined us from Fort Collins. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us about the latest flooding. How, as of this morning, is it looking there in Colorado?
Right. Well, we've seen massive rain over a huge geographical area, basically a span of about 130 miles from north and Fort Collins down to Colorado Springs, and seeing road closures, tons of bridges being lost, mudslides, power outages, lots of evacuations. Now, Boulder is a college town, and it is one of the towns that's really been hardest hit at this point.
Mark Beckner, chief of police for the city of Boulder, says flooding across the city was close to a 25-year event.
I would call it a 35-year event because in my 35 years, we've never had anything this significant. The waters that I've seen coming down the canyon and the tributaries has been just tremendous amount of water.
I'm Jackie Fortier. More than 1,000 people are ready to be rescued across Colorado's Front Range following intense flooding. But as KUNC's Luke Runyon reports, more heavy rain and low clouds put rescue efforts on pause.
Many of the winding mountain roads that give access to flooded towns have been wiped out by overflowing rivers. That makes helicopter the only way to reach some of the stranded residents. Incident Commander Shane Del Grosso says it's impossible to get into the air while the weather refuses to cooperate. He says even the smallest delays put lives at risk.
It's the middle of September. It's not going to be long in this country before you start getting frost and you're going to start having some snow. And it's going to take months and years to rebuild some of these roads.
Flash flooding has devastated Highway 34 in the Big Thompson Canyon, and that's essentially cut off residents of Estes Park. Town spokeswoman Kate Rush says while some sidewalks and roads in evacuated areas may look okay, flooding has eroded ground underneath, making them extremely unstable.
It may be completely invisible to you as you walk onto a sidewalk or you go onto a road. It looks okay, but there's nothing to support it. So it's just imperative that people do not go back into these evacuated areas until officials have cleared them for safety.
Officials are pleading with residents in certain areas to evacuate since emergency services remain strained, and it may become increasingly difficult to reach people if they need help.
Recovery efforts from days of massive flooding across northern Colorado ground to a halt yesterday by more of what created the situation, rain. More than 1,000 people are still unaccounted for, and just as many remain stranded in mountain communities cut off by washed-out roads. As KUNC's Grace Hood reports, government officials are still getting a handle on the unprecedented level of destruction.
Heavy rain grounded National Guard helicopters from conducting additional search and rescue efforts in Boulder and Larimer counties. During a Sunday press briefing, Larimer County Sheriff Justin Smith summarized both the frustration and optimism of the day.
The question I had is how can we ever recover from this? And I know exactly, inch by inch, mile by mile, community by community, they're taking this stuff back. They're doing it. People are getting those things done out there.
There were positive developments over the weekend. A break in the weather Saturday allowed for large-scale evacuations in the towns of Lyons and Jamestown. In Estes Park, electricity, cell phone, and internet were restored. And Boulder and Larimer County search and rescue operations received significant muscle thanks to the arrival.
With many parts of Highway 34 and the Big Thompson Canyon destroyed, the small town of Estes Park has lost its main route in and out of town. As soon as phone service was restored yesterday, KUNC's Nathan Heffel spoke with Estes Park spokeswoman Kate Rush about the current state of the town and how residents are coping being cut off by floodwaters.
What are we actually seeing today in Estes Park? What are some of the things that are happening right now in the area?
We've got rescue operations underway with officers out on ATVs, getting back to those neighborhoods, again, to the east of Fish Creek Road, and trying to talk with people and explain to them the importance of going ahead and working with them to get evacuated.
Helicopter recovery cranked into full gear Monday afternoon. Both Boulder and Larimer counties, north of Denver, were able to resume rescues of people stranded in their homes because of washed-out roads. Hundreds of residents have been reported missing, in many instances because they have no way of contacting friends and relatives. Downed cell phone towers and phone lines have made communication in some areas difficult. Nick Christensen is with the Larimer County Sheriff's Office.
We may complete this evacuation component in the next day or two, but there are a lot of areas we'll have to search thoroughly and continue to focus on those that are missing at this point and make sure that everybody's accounted for. And that may take weeks or even months, I would anticipate.
Those evacuated Monday filtered through this shelter set up in East Fort Collins.
As the remaining flood survivors continue to be airlifted out of towns cut off by flooding, the focus is beginning to shift to recovery. Thousands of homes are damaged and destroyed, roads are still submerged, and bridges have been wiped out. As KUNC's Luke Runyon reports, total damage to transportation infrastructure could approach $500 million.
I'm standing here along Highway 85, just south of Greeley. That noise you heard in the background is a helicopter that's flying overhead to do some assessments. Transportation crews are going to be assessing the damage for this entire week, trying to come up with a dollar figure and miles of road and number of bridges that have been damaged or completely destroyed by the floodwaters.
While much of Monday's attention was on evacuating stranded flood residents in the foothills, another scenario was playing out in the city of Evans. The area southeast of Greeley has been inundated with water, flooding scores of homes and one of two water treatment plants. And as KUNC's Nathan Heffel reports, that's impacting residents whose homes were never directly touched by floodwaters from the South Platte River.
37th Street and Pueblo Street in Evans has kind of become a gathering place for people hoping to either see some of the devastation, The river is crossing 37th Street, less than a football field away from where National Guardsmen and local police have set up a roadblock. But for many people who don't live in flood damage zones, they're also flood victims.
The reason? About half of the town's 20,000 residents are under a no-flush order, including Vicki Stromberger.
Nothing can go down the system. So basically, we are on a no-flush, no shower, no laundry, no dishes.
Do you have children? And
I currently have three families living in my home. My daughter was displaced from the flood. My in-laws have a total loss from the flood. So
how are they washing and doing stuff like
we
that?
We are improvising. We are taking up offers from family
the
and
town
friends
of Estes Park was dealt a harsh blow during the recent rain and subsequent flooding. The town is still essentially cut off with few ways in and out. Major highways will take months or even a year or more to restore. And as KUNC's Luke Runyon reports, that leaves this tourist-dependent community in dire straits at the beginning of the fall season.
I'm driving along Highway 7, which is one of two winding mountain roads being used to get into Estes Park right now. The two main highways into town were taken out by floodwaters last week. It's a pretty harrowing drive to begin with, let alone the rock slides that have come onto the highway. So I'm going to turn the recorder off and focus on the road.
Welcome, everybody. I want to thank you for driving up. I know it was not an easy trip for you to get here, but
Town of Estes Park spokeswoman Kate Rush addresses a bus full of reporters. It's the media's first real opportunity to view some of the damage to the town's infrastructure and areas where the Big Thompson River altered course into condominiums and hotels.
So what we're looking at here, as you can see, where it took out the patios on these houses, they're kind of hanging on the edge of these condos. And you can see all the sewer pipes just hanging off.
Amid the destruction to homes and roads, aerial footage from news helicopters also has shown oil and gas wells inundated with floodwaters.
We have thousands of wells in the flood areas.
Tisha Schuler is president of the Colorado Oil and Gas Association, an industry trade group.
Effects range from being pretty much unaffected, where berms around the facilities protected them, to those standing in water and those in active running water.
Many of the sites are inaccessible. Their status remains unknown. And that's worrisome for Gary Walkner.
We're seeing pictures come out of Weld County of huge oil and gas tanks floating in floodwaters, of entire batteries of natural gas wells completely submerged.
Walkner is director of the group Clean Water Action. Because so much is unknown about the status of the submerged wells, he says...
This is All Things Considered on KUNC. I'm Jackie Fortier. With thousands of people affected by the flooding, Larimer County is opening a disaster assistance center in Loveland today. I spoke with Suzanne Basinger, the recovery manager for Larimer County, about what the center will offer.
FEMA will be there, of course, to be doing registration. And it is vitally important that anybody impacted by the floods first visit FEMA and register. There will be no benefits coming from FEMA to any of our survivors until they register with FEMA. In addition to FEMA, we're going to have a whole array of social services, county services, planning, building departments, health departments should be there. We are going to schedule a few times for free tetanus shots.
More oil spills are being reported along Colorado's eastern plains. They follow other reports announced earlier this week of oil being released into or near the South Platte River. Most oil and gas companies shut down their equipment days before the floods, but swift currents may have loosened storage tanks and pipes. State regulators say inspectors...
As floodwaters recede, reports are surfacing of damage to oil and gas wells in the region. The Denver Post is reporting releases from 10 different sites that are being tracked by state and federal regulators. Two are considered significant. KUNC's Nathan Heffel spoke with Tisha Schuler, president of the Colorado Oil and Gas Association, about the ongoing situation.
Can you tell us what you're doing right now at this moment to combat possible spills and possible contamination to areas that have been impacted by these floodwaters?
In terms of the spill that was reported last night, cleanup was completed on that last night. And then there was another one that happened as well, that operations were ongoing this morning.
And can you talk specifically about those two spills? There was one in Platteville, I think, and then there was also one up south of Milliken.
We had two tank batteries that had the flow lines between tanks compromised. When that happens, you have a leak through that flow line. What we're able to do is vacuum out the liquids remaining in the tank.
This is Morning Edition on KUNC. I'm Erin O'Toole. It's been 9 days since the devastating floods began, creating widespread devastation across the Front Range, killing at least 7 people and displacing thousands from their homes. In Larimer County, helicopter crews evacuated at least 900 people from mountain communities that had been cut off by flooding, including Pinewood Springs. This small community of about 600 residents is part of the town of Lyons, but lies within southern Larimer County. I spoke with one of those residents, Kerry Grimes, who was evacuated by Chinook helicopter Monday, along with his wife Allison and their dog. They ended up at the YMCA in Boulder, along with other evacuees. So, Kerry, where are you staying now? Are you still at the Y, or are you staying with friends?
My office is actually just 10 minutes away from the Y in Boulder, so that worked out really well. So I had a coworker come pick me up. We went right to get food because we were kind of starving. Not starving, but we had rice and Ritz crackers the night before for our last dinner. So my bosses where I work, they're actually out of town right now, so they are putting us up for at least a couple weeks. And then while they're out of town and we have a car, so it worked out really well.
The city of Evans is valiantly trying to restore one of their crippled wastewater treatment plants. When floodwaters inundated the community of around 20,000, the plant was compromised. Since then, about 2/3 of the community has been under a no-flush rule, meaning they're unable to shower, flush toilets, do laundry, or anything that puts water down the drains. But as KUNC's Nathan Heffel reports, Evans is working on an ambitious plan to help clear the wastewater system in hopes they can lift the no-flush rule by next week.
Mayor Lyle Atziger says they hope to get things flowing again by connecting one of their wastewater lines to the neighboring city of Greeley.
We are currently have a pipe laid from just west of the plant from our system, pumping it up across ground and putting it into another manhole that is connected to the Greeley wastewater treatment plant.
And once it's all connected and tested, Atziger says they can begin to clean out the city's sewer lines that have been clogged with raw sewage and mud. But that won't be the magic solution that completely repairs the system. First, they have to get the...
Some of the helicopters conducting airlifts after massive flooding in Colorado carried more pets to safety than people. As coordinator of the veterinary extension team at Colorado State University, Reagan Adams is hoping to create a statewide disaster plan for pets. She spoke to KUNC's Erin O'Toole.
Some people watching the news might be surprised by this effort to rescue pets during a natural disaster, kind of like a why worry about animals when human lives are at stake kind of thing. So does Colorado really need a pet disaster plan?
We learned during Hurricane Katrina that saving pets is saving people. During Hurricane Katrina, there was no mandate to save people's pets. So 44% of the people that did not evacuate.
The damage from flooding in Colorado is immense, and not just to homes and businesses. As the raging rivers overflowed, they spilled into low-lying farm and ranch land, wrecking costly equipment and stranding livestock. As KUNC's Luke Runyon reports, the damage is making it hard for farmers to stay optimistic.
We had all the equipment out except that planter.
The metal storage shed on farmer Glenn Werning's land outside LaSalle in north central Colorado is still standing, though it took a beating from tree trunks, fuel tanks, and tractor tires washed downstream in the South Platte River.
The government shutdown is cutting off funding for 120 National Guard engineers tasked with rebuilding roads destroyed by the Colorado flood. As KUNC's Grace Hood reports, the state's government plans on footing the bill to ensure that work continues.
Colorado is racing to rebuild hundreds of miles of roads destroyed by the flood before winter sets in. Governor John Hickenlooper says the state can't afford to have the engineers pulled off the job. For that reason, he says the state will pay salaries out of its emergency fund.
We need them to stay on the job. We can't afford to have them
pulled off the job and have to retrain people.
A decline in visitors to Estes Park because of recent flooding and the shutdown of Rocky Mountain National Park could have far-reaching impacts on Northern Colorado's economy in the coming year. That's according to a new report from the Regional Economics Institute at Colorado State University. KUNC's Erin O'Toole spoke with the Institute's director, Martin Shields, about the report.
Certainly, tourism is a major driver of Colorado's economy, and you could say Estes is one of the region's strongest draws, in part because it's the western gateway to Rocky Mountain National Park. So just in a general sense, what kind of statewide impact are we talking about here with what's going on with Estes?
The general impact for Colorado overall is that when people think about their summer vacations, they tend to choose a destination. Someone in Tennessee might say, what are we going to do next summer? And they'll say, oh, let's go to Rocky Mountain National Park. And then they plan their trip to Rocky, and then they say, well, what else can we do? Well, we'll spend a day in Fort Collins, or spend a day in
Life is Boulder, far from Steamboat. Normal in this town of 2000. Most residents haven't returned home yet because power, sewer, and water lines broke during the floods. Some homes and businesses were untouched by water. Others here in Lyons, like the 20-acre festival grounds of Planet Bluegrass, are hardly recognizable.
A lot of these places, it's just there's a bunch of sand on top of otherwise fine grass.
That's festival director Craig Ferguson. He's standing on top of dirt and sand deposited by the floodwaters. Bulldozers drive by a ravaged building and an overturned car waiting for removal. Ferguson says he hasn't figured out how exactly he'll pay for his rebuilding.
It's been 2 months since floodwaters ravaged some Front Range communities. Over the next few days, we're going to take a look at where things stand with various aspects of the recovery process. KUNC's Luke Runyon looks at the impact to agriculture and just how expensive September's flooding will be for farmers and ranchers.
Because last time, you weren't able to go where we're going to go.
I first met Glenn Morning September 23rd, not long after floodwaters on the South Platte River hit their peak at his farm outside the town of LaSalle.
It's a different kind of a process. We never imagined it'd be this time-consuming and how little you get done in 2 months. It's 2 months now.
In that time, Werning and his family have managed to tear out the floors from inside their decades-old homestead. Soaked insulation is piled up outside, and his chimney is sinking into the ground.
I didn't know that stuff could rust this fast.
The historic rains that caused September's flooding decimated miles of roadways, cut off entire towns, and sent rivers and creeks into areas they'd never been before, like Tim Foster's immaculate front yard.
That was beautiful. It was a lawn. I had four large blue spruces. We had 100-year-old cottonwoods all along the bank. We had our irrigation, our pumps. It was just gorgeous.
At the height of the flooding, it all washed away. Left Hand Creek, just 200 yards from Foster's home near Boulder, became a raging river, one that charted a new path right across his driveway.
In the days following the disaster, I spoke with one of the many people impacted. Kerry Grimes lives with his wife Allison in Pinewood Springs, a small community near the town of Lyons. They were evacuated by Chinook helicopter just a few days after the floods began. After being displaced for about a month, they've been able to return home.
You know, our house is fun, but I think the community is just kind of getting back on its feet. Not everybody's back yet. You know, just the little things like, you know, our trash service has been restored recently. I think there's just a lot of cleanup near the river, just debris that got washed down.
Flood recovery efforts in Colorado marked perhaps the most significant milestone yet on Thursday. Highway 34 between Loveland and Estes Park reopened, rejoining the two communities. It's a huge step for the municipalities, their businesses, and residents. But as KUNC's Grace Hood reports, work is far from over.
Colorado Department of Transportation crews worked 7 days a week for more than 2 months to repair the winding canyon highway. And Thursday's snow and cold temperatures were not lost on the dignitaries who gathered near the town of Drake.
All I can say is, this was the toughest one we had. We said we would get it done before winter. We barely made it, but we did!
That's CDOT Executive Director Don Hunt. He warmed up the crowd of about 100 people before Governor John...
Town's hardest hit by September's flooding got some good news Thursday. U.S. Housing and Urban Development Secretary Sean Donovan announced nearly $63 million in federal recovery funds to help individuals and communities rebuild. As KUNC's Nathan Heffel reports, the secretary toured Lyons and parts of Evans Thursday, along with Governor John Hickenlooper and Colorado Senators, Democrats Michael Bennett and Mark Udall.
Pull Pulling into the parking lot at the Evans Community Center, the bundled-up delegation was greeted by Evans officials. Secretary Donovan started his tour in flood-ravaged Lyons. He says he was taken aback at the amount of damage caused by September's rains.
The devastation is of a scale that nobody can ever imagine.
104 days have passed since floodwaters damaged homes and roads across northern Colorado. Temporary repairs have been made on all major roadways. But the process of rebuilding private roads is happening more slowly in remote communities like Glen Haven in the Big Thompson Canyon. As KUNC's Grace Hood reports, residents there are weighing fierce independence with severe destruction and defining on their own terms what it means to ask for help.
Hundreds used to live year-round in this community. As you drive down the town's main road, you quickly see that few have been able to move back. But that doesn't stop dozens of residents now living outside this tight-knit community from stopping by the local fire station for the latest news.
We definitely need roads and bridges and access to our homes.
Joan Van Horn sits behind a laptop in the corner of the room. She and others are working to raise money for the ongoing flood repairs. Glen Haven is an unincorporated town within Larimer County. Most of the homes here are on private roads, which means they aren't eligible for federal aid or county assistance.
There's no phone service, no cell reception, no internet. I'd be a mile from the next person by myself, and some days I'd have to walk out, probably, or get an ATV.
This looks remarkably good compared to what it did a month ago.
To see the devastation up close, I jump aboard an 8-wheel all-terrain vehicle with longtime resident Steve Childs. He lived through the 1976 Big Thompson flood.
But here's where you really start to see the damage on Fox Street. Some trees down, some brush, some disturbed stuff.
The typically small Fox Creek became a raging river during September's flooding. As it charted a new course, it stripped away the foundations from some homes while completely destroying others. At least one demolished car is still upended in the stream bed.
Certainly, from what you're seeing here, you can't expect these private property owners to come up with the money that it's going to take to repair this. I think if this were in Beverly Hills, you'd be hard-pressed to come up with enough money to fix something of this degree.
And this issue isn't unique to Glen Haven. About 21 miles of private roads were damaged throughout Larimer County. Repairs could cost up to $5 million. And as of now, the Federal Emergency Management Agency has said no to rebuilding aid.
If FEMA, the federal government's not going to come help us, and if the county, because of mandate, can't come help us, well, what are 200 or 300 or 400 people supposed to do? Are we all just supposed to abandon our properties and move out because the road's private? Well, I don't think that's reasonable either.
Larimer County commissioners are appealing the FEMA ruling, and they've also applied for community block grant dollars that could be used to help fix some of the private roads. Back at the fire station, the self-sufficiency and determination of displaced residents is on full display. Outside, a large white banner reads, Glen Haven, Hillbilly Tough. Inside, there are fundraising t-shirts and bumper stickers with the message, Glen Haven Strong.
Before the flood, we were, a strong community, where we were a caring community. We were not a together community.
Tony Fink says the quiet atmosphere and small-town feel brought him to Glen Haven 7 years ago. It's also what keeps him coming back to the fire station, even though he still can't live in his home.
Now, we're a much more caring community, and we're all on the same page. We're all in this together.
But along with the enthusiasm comes the criticism. Steve Childs, who owns the Glen Haven General Store that was also damaged by the flood, says he's often asked, why rebuild at all?
You know, why do they rebuild every year after the annual hurricane in Florida? Or right now in California where they're having wildfires every single year? Those people rebuild. Why? It's where you choose to live. It's where you've invested your future. It's where you've spent your money and your time and your blood, sweat, and tears.
Childs says Glen Haven is his home, and it is for many others, too. For KUNC, I'm Grace Hood.